you've ever done.
Hey, Smutters.
Hey there, all you cool cats and kittens.
I know.
It's been a minute on that one, hasn't it?
Bringing that back, huh? Okay, how was your week?
Well, it was a week. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. Just a week.
My week was pretty good.
I know.
But I'm just telling you that it was not bad.
Huh.
So, tonight...
Sorry. I didn't realize my volume was
you
up.
You should not be allowed to have a phone when we record.
Quit picking on me.
I'm going to pick on you.
You can't wait to get home to bully me.
I know. Okay. So, tonight, we are going to play one of our fun games.
Is it an adult game?
Yeah. Scary adult game. But it has to do with contacting the dead. Kind of making like a telephone.
Like a Ouija board?
Not a Ouija board, a telephone.
So, a Ouija board.
No, because that's not like a telephone. Like, you can't, like, hear them. You know what I mean?
Huh. Do dead people have cell phones?
Now they do. They're moving up. But, I found, while I was looking up stories, there are actually a bunch of fun little phone numbers you can call and get these crazy recordings. Some of them work, some of them don't.
You know, a lot of divorces happen because of that. And a lot of money spent. $2.99 a minute.
Not those kind. Oh. But, no, I actually found some that involve Stranger Things, and I'll call one of them in a minute. But I found one where you call Argyle's, the pizza place that he worked at in Stranger Things. And then there's another one where you can call and you get Murray's voicemail where he's talking about Joyce. And then I found a number, and it's really weird. It just says all these weird phrases. It was strange. Like, it was just, it's really hard to explain. And I'll give you guys these phone numbers. And then I found one, and it was for the game Five Nights at Freddy's. That's one of our favorites in this household.
No.
Yes. But you can call the Five Nights at Freddy's, and it's a bunch of strange noises, but it's like noises from the game. Like, it's almost like they're getting ready for a jump scare or something. So it's kind of a creepy little number to call, but then it's just like the number you have dialed is not a working number, and then it hangs up. But it's really cool. So I figured we would call Argyle's Pizza Place and see, let y'all hear that. But let's see here. The number is 805-457-4992. Let's call.
Sir, Surfer Boy Pizza. This is Argyle speaking. We make everything fresh here at Surfer Boy, except for our pineapple, which comes from a can. But I still highly recommend slapping some juicy pineapple on your pot. Oh, fruit on your pizza's gnarly, you say. Well, I say try before you deny.
Oh.
Yes, he was talking about the pineapple pizza that they tried in Stranger Things. That's not a spoiler. That really has nothing to do with anything. So, you can do that one. Now, you know what? Just for funsies, let's do the Five Nights at Freddy's one. Just so you can hear how strange it is. And... let's see. Okay. This one, it says it's in Massachusetts. The number is 1-508-690-6143. And let y'all hear this one.
Hello?
Okay, and that one goes on like that. It almost sounds like, you know, in the game when you're kind of hiding and it, like, you hear those creepy noises around you, like they're getting ready to jump out and scare you. That's what it sounded like. But that goes on for about 2 minutes, and it does a few different sounds, and then it gets really loud. So there's that one. If you want to do the weird phrase one, it was just kind of different. It wasn't very creepy. It was just, what are they saying to you, you know? So that one was 858-651-5050 if you want to try that one. And those are all the numbers. Oh, I have one for Murray, which is 618-625-8313. So those are kind of fun. If you get bored, don't have anything to do, it's fun to look those up. There was also a bunch of numbers when I looked up scary numbers you could call. They were like, they would put the numbers down and they were like, but don't ever call this number, you'll die. And I was like, well, now I don't want to try it. So
now I'm not going to.
Now I'm definitely not going to do it. But there were several numbers like that. And all you have to type in is like scary phone numbers. And it'll come up if you want to try it on your own. If you do, let us know what happens, what they say. Because I found this one number, and it would have been so great. But when I tried it, I got a busy signal. But it was supposed to tell you an urban legend or play scary music, stuff like that. But that one didn't really go through. So that's our little segue into what we're doing tonight. We are doing the shoebox telephone game.
Say what?
I know. And this game, I found two experiences that go with it. It really just depends on the time we have left. But it seems to have worked. And it actually, all the experiences that I found, there's quite a bit. I mean, it seemed to work in some kind of way. It may not have, like, gone all the way through, but people did have some kind of experience. So, what I'm going to do is go over the rules with you as always, and then we'll go back into what these people experienced. So, you just need one player for the game.
Well, and like you and a person, or no, just one person?
Just you. You need a phone booth, which is a closet, a paper cup, a shoebox, one length of thread, and it's got to be 2 to 4 feet in length. What?
It's like the phone cup string phones?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Right? Okay. 2 to 4 feet in length for this, the thread. You need a needle, a pair of scissors, and one power object. This object should have some kind of connection to the person to which you're wanting to talk to. Like, if I wanted to talk to Troy after I kill him, I would probably, what would I use?
My collection of samurai swords.
You don't have any of that. So
my guns.
You don't have any of that? You have, no? Okay. So you will also need one sheet of paper, one ink pen, do not substitute with a pencil, and a flat surface to write.
I'm going to use a pencil just because I can.
Well, then it's not going to work for you.
It will.
So have fun with your game that won't work.
It will.
So here's the instructions. Begin right before you go to bed. The hour itself is inconsequential. All that matters is that your day is pretty much over. Keep the lights on, but turn off all the other electronic devices, like your cell phone, televisions, computers, stuff like that. And just wait. You'll know when the time is right to begin. Once you... What? I hear you take that breath in, and I'm like, what do you have to say about it? Okay.
Nothing.
Once you arrive at the right time, get your shoes. Thank you, Dr. Seuss. Take your sheet of paper and your pen and write a letter addressed to the person to which you wish to speak.
Letter? Why don't I just go pet my dinosaur?
Listen, I don't make the rules to these games. And also, I actually think that this game was made a long time ago.
You think?
Well, I'm sorry you can't just dial them up on your cell phone.
That's why people use Ouija boards now.
No, Ouija boards was before this. Anyway, let's finish this.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, you write the letter addressed to the person to who you want to speak to. Explain to your person why they should call you.
Carmen Bra!
Do not cross out anything while writing, and do not correct any mistakes. Don't overthink what you're writing. Just write. When you're done writing, take up your length of thread and tie one end of it to your power object. Using a needle, thread the other end through the bottom of your paper cup. Remove the needle.
Did you make a rotary dial for this too?
Stop. Remove the needle and tie off the thread. This will be your handset and your telephone wire. Stop. They can't see you. Stop it.
I know they can't see me.
Pick up the paper cup and read your letter out loud into it. Read it sincerely, mistakes and all. Place your letter and power object in the shoebox with the telephone wire thread leading out of it. Close the lid of the box, but don't seal it. Then rest it on the floor of your phone booth. Leave the paper cup standing on top of the shoebox and set the scissors down next to it. Wait for the telephone to ring.
Your cup?
Your cup.
How does it ring?
I'm about to tell you. Stop.
Did you have to install a little bell in it or something?
No, that would be super cool. Oh my gosh, I would take an extra step, y'all, and put a bell on it. That's a really good idea. Okay, so the ring will come in a form of a dream of the person trying to call you. It might be that night, and it might be a night shortly thereafter. You'll wake up from the dream, likely in the middle of the night, and know that the telephone is ready to be answered. Get up from your bed and go to your phone booth. Do not turn on the light and do not speak. Do not proceed if any of the following occur. You find your shoebox open. You find the paper cup knocked over. Should you encounter either or both of these incidents, do not place the headset anywhere near your ear. Keep the shoebox closed and snap the string with your hands. If you're unable to snap it, use the scissors to snip it. If the shoebox and paper cup are undisturbed, you may proceed. Get in the phone booth and close the door. Sit on the floor and press the paper cup to your ear. Cover your other ear with your hand and listen. Really listen. They're call and collect after all. Keep movement to a minimum and try not to make any noise and do not touch the shoebox. Do not speak. Even if you are asked questions or ordered to say something, you already had your say when you made your outbound call. When the call has finished, or if at any time you want to hang up, hold the shoebox lid firmly closed with one hand and pull on the thread with the other until it snaps. If you are unable to snap the string in this manner, use the scissors. Do not allow the shoebox to open. Remove the shoebox to a safe location and leave it there for several months. Again, do not allow the shoebox to open. Do not put the paper cup to your ear again. Burn it. Additional notes. If during steps 3 and 4 of the outbound call, the feeling of absolute certainty that it is time to begin does not arrive within the space of an hour, do not proceed. Instead, go to sleep and try again the next night. If the right time does not arrive several nights in a row, either try contacting a different person or take a break for a few nights. Do not write in doubt. To write in doubt will result in dialing a wrong number. Do not prepare the paper cup handset in step 5 of the outbound call in advance. Write your letter, then make the handset. If the ring for the inbound call does not arrive after a maximum of 4 knots, it is possible that whoever you attempted to contact has nothing to say. You may replay the game to make contact with another person, but do not play too often. Dialing the wrong number will either result in connecting you to no one at all or connecting you to the wrong person. If connected to the wrong person, any of the following may occur. They could pretend to be the right person. The wrong person could feed you misinformation, either in the disguise of the right person or themselves, and the wrong person could otherwise give you a bad time. And that is it. And it says, do not under any circumstances dial a wrong number.
So, what do you do?
I mean, you basically with this game, you're opening a portal to to invite any kind of spirit to talk to you. You have to have full faith that this person is going to want to talk to you pretty much. But, you know, as they say about demons, demons come in the form of your loved ones. And they will they will play on those emotions.
Like your wife.
And you need to be very careful with this game. But I do have an experience. And in one experience, it seems like it kind of went wrong for them. Because they tried to, call their cat.
What?
Apparently, they were very close to their cat.
How does the cat respond?
Well, it's... We're going to find out. I'm glad you asked. And then another experience. It was a very good experience for this lady, and it was what she needed.
Better be glad you're hot.
Thanks. So, we're going to start with the cat. No, that's the wrong one I did. Okay.
Language.
Sorry. Let me see. Okay, so basically, I'm not going to read this whole thing because I'm not sure how we are on time. But this girl had gotten a cat, and she was very close to her cat. It was pretty much like her child. She would, you know, the cat hated everybody else but her. It loved her. It sat with her all the time. You know, if she went to the bathroom, it would follow her and scratch the door. Just a basic animal companion, pretty much. So, eventually, the cat got very, very sick. It had cancer. And her boyfriend, this reminds me of The Office, actually.
Sprinkles?
Yeah, Sprinkles. It's not funny. I'm sorry. So, her boyfriend decided that the cat couldn't eat anymore, and it was in misery. So, the boyfriend ended up putting the cat down. Now, by the time she got to her boyfriend's house, he had already done it. He didn't want her to see it, but she never got to tell her best friend, Ba. You know, she felt really bad about it, and, you know, she held her and hugged her when she saw her, but it was just too late. So she started kind of, actually I'm going to start reading this now because I didn't want to, it's a long backstory, but it's basically about how much she loved her cat and it was just her little companion. So late one night, no one was home. I was playing a game on the computer when I thought I heard something in the kitchen. I took my headset off and walked in the kitchen in the complete dark. And no word of a lie, where her food dish was, I could hear her plain as day eating. It freaked me out at first, and I ran to my bed and hid under the covers. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought I shouldn't be scared. Because if it was her, and not just my brain, I shouldn't be scared of my baby girl. Days went on, and I smoked a shit ton of weed to try to get over her passing. But I knew I would never be able to overcome this trauma without being able to say goodbye to her in her own way or form. So she went online and looked for ways to contact the dead. Guess what she came across?
What?
The shoebox telephone. It wasn't her first choice, but it seemed rather safe and simple to use. I did the ritual, told her how sorry I was, and that I would understand if she hated me, and I tied her favorite toy to the end and waited out the 3 days the ritual required. It's four, but she waited three. On the third night, I had a dream about her. She was sitting in my lap, and I was petting her like I used to do. When I woke up, I immediately rushed to the box, got inside my cupboard, and put the cup to my ear. Silence for a few minutes. Felt really shitty, too, because I kind of knew it wouldn't work, but I got my hopes up. But then it happened. I heard something. I heard her purring. I knew it was her, and it was clear as day and not just in my head. It went on for a little while longer, and when it stopped, I assumed it meant the ritual was over. So I cut the string and got out of her little phone booth. My roommate was on the other end of my bedroom door that I had locked, and he looked at me and said, "Did you open that?" "No," was all I could say. I took the cup outside and burned it. The shoebox is currently in our storage area, tucked away in a corner where it can't be disturbed by anyone. Ever since then, doors have been opening on their own, even the locked bedroom door. My Snapchat has been picking up faces all over the house when I use it. Also, lights will turn off and on by themselves, and things will just move different places. I don't know if it was all in my head or if I actually contacted my cat, but this is just my experience as I've had as of late. I've been doing more experiences to contact the dead just to test things out. I did something that scared the shit out of my friends one night, but that's a story for another day. Thank you for listening. You don't have to believe what I've written here. I'm not asking you to. I'm just writing and documenting my experience I've had recently. So that was her experience. Now, in the comments, people are like, congratulations, it wasn't your cat. You've commented or you've let in some kind of crazy spirit that is pretending to be your cat and is now, you know, like, please be nice. This person just lost, like, her dearest, you know, pet, and they're like,
and that is hard.
It's very hard because just reading that, because the cat went through the same thing that Brantley Bell went through. That's why I couldn't read all that because I wouldn't make it.
Y'all. It was Brantley. After we had Brantley for years, she then decided to put Bell in there. His name is Brantley.
It's Brantley Bell. it's always been Brantley Bell, but he doesn't like that I call him Brantley Bell. But anyway, the story, it really hit home. And if I read the whole thing, like I said, I wouldn't have made it through because it still hurts y'all. But yes, it's just funny because the comments, they're like, good job. They're so mean about it. And they're like, we think you opened up a portal to let some other spirits through because that definitely was not your cat. But I thought that one was kind of interesting because it was an animal that she tried to contact. And, you know, maybe it was her cat. And maybe, you know, cats are kind of assholes. So, and I'm not saying that to be mean towards cat. We all know it's true. Because, you know, it's just, assholes. They are. And, you know, maybe the cat's just like opening doors and knocking shit over. I mean, that's a cat. So.
Yeah, they're just, I mean. That's not being mean. It's true.
It's cats just their personality. Yeah, they are. So please don't come at us with, I love my cat and my cat. Because there are some sweet cats. But cats do, they are classified their personality as dicks. So, you know, and Brantley was a little asshole. He was just like a cat. And we always said he was like a cat because he was such a little asshole. But now we have another story, though, and this one's a little bit different, and I'm just going to read it all to you because it's a very nice story, and it turned out really, the story didn't turn out well for her, but she got what she wanted, and she felt better after she did it. So here we go. In my freshman year of school, I fell in love with a boy. Our relationship wasn't perfect. I was needy and insecure. He was manipulative and had an explosive temper, but we loved each other. And while we tried breaking it off a few times, we always wound up back together. After college, he was unemployed and feeling directionless. He enlisted in the Army. You can probably guess the rest. The night before he left for basic, he got down on one knee and pulled out a ring. It wasn't anything fancy, but I was over the moon. I said yes. He left. And I was left with the task of learning to get by without him in my day-to-day life. He had some leave between finishing his training and shipping out to Iraq. We spent a lot of time in bed together just daydreaming about what things would be like when he came back. Then he left. It was scary, and we couldn't stay in touch very well, but he made it back from his first deployment. We had our wedding, and it was everything I dreamed of. We found a nice apartment. We got a dog. And they talked about starting a family. It was 2009, right after Thanksgiving. The president announced he was committing additional forces to Afghanistan. Orders came down pretty soon after. He was shipped out. A few months later, a knock at the door. Two men in dress uniforms. He didn't make it. He never came home, not even in a box. I put off taking the test for as long as I could, but eventually it was undeniable. I was pregnant. Up until that point, I was numb. I called my mother-in-law to tell her the good news, but on the second ring, I burst into tears and hung up before I could tell her. I was a wreck. I cried all the time, and when I wasn't crying, I slept. I hardly ever ate. I lost the baby. In the years since, I moved on. I hurt, but not in the same way. People started encouraging me to date again, but I still needed closure. Last week was his birthday, and I guess it was time. 2 weeks ago, I started gathering materials. The shoebox, my sewing kit, a paper cup, parchment, and an ink pen. The ritual doesn't call for it, but it was how I used to write him love letters, and it felt right. A silver locket holding a sketch I drew of him in high school and a poem he wrote me around the same time. I cleaned my closet so there'd be enough room to sit with the box. It took me 4 nights before I was ready to write the letter. On the 4th night, as I was on the verge of giving up, it all came tumbling out. Enough to fill the paper from top to bottom in tiny script. I can't share the contents of it here, but there was a lot of why, and I love you, and I'm sorry in it. When it was done, I attached the locket to the cup with some red thread, and I made the call. I was crying by the end of it, and when I was finished crying, I folded the letter and put it in the box with the locket and set the cup on top of the whole thing to wait. It took another 3 days for it to ring. I dreamed of the last night we spent together lying on the same bed and talking about random shit, trying to pretend the morning wasn't coming. His fingers were interlaced with mine, and I could feel his warmth next to me. It was so real. Suddenly, he gripped my hand hard, forcing me to turn and look at him. "Baby, get up. We gotta talk," he said. And then I woke up. It was 2 a.m. on the morning of his birthday. I'd taken to sleeping on the floor next to the open closet while I was waiting, so it only took a couple of seconds to sit up and grab the cup. I held it over my right ear and waited. I didn't bother covering my left as I'm hard of hearing on that side, and I waited a minute or two, but nothing came through. Then I had an idea. Without moving around too much, I grabbed my hearing aid and put it in on my left ear, turned it on, and turned the volume up until I could hear a little static coming through. Then put the cup over it and covered my right ear. It fucking worked. He was there. Barely a whisper, but it was him. I can't repeat what he said. I couldn't even make out some of it, but I think I got enough. I heard what I needed to anyway. He told me things about himself I've since been able to confirm. Some of it hurt, a lot of it actually, but it was good to get it out in the open. I'm sorry for being so vague, it's just it's so personal. When it was done, I broke the thread and I tied the box shut with ribbon. I'll probably open it on the anniversary of his death 3 months from now. That feels right. I burned the cup in the fireplace. I understand now why I've never seen anyone post about having done this ritual. It's relatively safe, but the results are very private. It took me a lot of thinking before I decided to share my experience, after all. As you can see, I made a throwaway account to do it. This won't be my last post, though. My husband. I will share one thing he said to me. He said there's another phone call I need to make. I have to call our son. And that was it. So then after reading that in the comments, you know, people are like, that's so beautiful. And that one almost, that one almost made me cry too. It was just very sad. You're gross. gross. But that one made me really sad. I'm happy that she got to talk to him, but it does make me think about the end where he says, you need to talk to our son. That worries me a little bit because I feel like it's opening something up for something else because she had a miscarriage, you know? I don't know how she could talk to her son. Maybe it's just different. I don't know. I hope it's genuine, and I hope she gets the closure that she needs. But I thought that was just such a fantastic story to share. So, what did you think?
I thought it was all right.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't you see, though, how you could get, you know, the wrong, I don't know, just get the wrong person, I guess, because you never know what you're connecting to, guys. So, if you do decide to play this game, just be very careful. And, you know, even if you do decide to write a letter, and I know it's probably hard, put in an inside joke or something that you had with that person and see if they mention it, because that's going to 100% be, you know, you able to know that's exactly who you're talking to. So that would be something I would do. But Troy and I are going to make a code word for when he dies, and I try to contact him. He can say the code word. So we'll do that.
Code word's balls deep.
Balls deep. So when I try to contact him with my shoebox telephone, he'll like come in the other side and be like, balls deep, bitch. But yes, that was the game tonight. If you guys try it, let us know how it turns out. If you get your closure and get to talk to a loved one, I hope that's what happens. I don't know if I would try to contact an animal. You can try if you would like to. It's all you. So, thank you guys for listening, and I hope you had fun tonight. Do you have any... I had to burp just then. Wow. Do you have anything you need to say? No. Alrighty. Well, we will see you guys next Sunday. I have a fun story lined up. Well,
Sunday.
It's not very fun. It's actual kind of traumatizing. But it will go hand in hand with the past American Horror Story that was just on, the one about the lake. So if you want to kind of watch that, it'll get you ready for next week's story. So y'all have a wonderful week, and make good choices, and stay hydrated. And happy spooky season. It is finally here.
Yes, it is.
So happy.
We're going to be visiting Spirit of Halloween tomorrow.
Yes, we are. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. All right, y'all. We will see y'all later.
Bye.